grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I step, by the way, I don't want to make these initial remarks in any way to take away from the Word of God, which is why we are here. But as I step to the altar here, to the pulpit this morning, I'm reminded of Genesis chapter 6. There were giants in the land. And my, with Pastor Elmer and Nick and Dennis, you see why I think that. This pulpit wasn't made for short men. But praise be to God. I do want to say at the outset that we have enjoyed so very much our fellowship here last evening and now today. And we just thank God for you. I am going to say this, that Janice and I, through the years, and also very recently, we are just so thankful, and we don't cease to stand in amazement what we see going on in this congregation, and that's to the glory of God. I just say, stay the course. Stay the course. And many times in the Holy Word of God, the Lord says, watch, doesn't He? He says, watch, continue in me. So we praise the Lord for all the young people and the families and what He is doing here. Continue to pray for your pastors and your leaders. Well, with that, I would like this morning now to turn to the scriptures. And as I do with you, I want to begin with this statement. I had just been thinking about this. I wonder this morning if this is going to come out more like a Bible study or a sermon. Things I've been thinking about.
You don't need that.
Oh.
You got it in your mouth.
Oh, you know what? I'm not used to this either. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Elmer. Brother Elmer, thank you. That's what brothers are for, aren't they? And I do appreciate that. Now I know what you were saying, Harvey, from down there. He was trying to tell me when I was sitting here. I thought he meant I needed to pull it down to me, but I don't. I forgot. Oh, well. well, may the Lord be with all of us this morning. But, beloved, America is in trouble. We have a problem with submitting to God from leadership down. And I say this with a heavy heart because we have grandchildren too and little ones that we are concerned about. When we lack submission to God, we have moral problems in our world. And you know, Satan is so subtle that we can easily get caught up in that. Prayer has been taken out of our schools. The name of Jesus can't be used, but we can use most any other name of religion other than Christianity in the name of Jesus. The Ten Commandments, or might I say, the ten greatest struggles that man will encounter have been taken off the walls of our schools and public places. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? To be saved, we have to see our need. And many in this world are not seeing their need of a Savior. I thank God where the Word is still being proclaimed, so that's possible because only the Word can save us. And I'm going to look at a couple passages of Scripture with you this morning that deal with a humble and contrite heart, and then with another where a man refused the love of God. and he was lost. So I know that's a little unusual to look at two texts with you this morning, but I am going to do that and start first with Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And as I begin, I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death." And it is so interesting. Do you realize that God in the book of Proverbs uses that very same passage twice? There must be a reason for that. Because in that same book, in Proverbs 16, verse 25, he says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death." His word is forever settled in the heavens. But man wants to follow his own feelings. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. "And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are.'" You can hear the arrogance even in his voice. The self-confidence, not confidence in someone else, but in himself. "I thank God that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican over here in the corner. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And you know, the Lord would say that there's nothing wrong with tithing, wouldn't he? But he was basing his salvation on these things. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you," Jesus said, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Prayer. This has been taken out of our schools, and by beginning of the 60s, these things begin to happen very rapidly, and we see the changes that have happened in the world since then, in America, this beloved country of ours. Prayer has its roots in the recognition of a need. Prayer has its roots in the recognition of a need that drives one to seek help from someone else other than yourself. It was the failure of the first man, the Pharisee, to recognize his own need that caused the Pharisee to pray as he did, "Lord, I thank you, I'm not like other men." His prayer was nothing more than an expression of his own self-righteousness, his own self-satisfaction. But as the publican prayed, we soon realize that true prayer is not intended as an occasion for two equals to meet to talk things over. You see, the Pharisee thought that he was more than equal to God. And the publican realizes that he's not equal to God. He's not going there as if he's an equal to him. He needs God. He sees his need. The publican came to plead the mercy of his merciful Lord. He who prays in the name of Jesus deliberately sets himself aside. He appears before God with no rights of his own. He appears before God with no rights of his own, except the right given by God to pray. That name of Jesus was brought from heaven to earth by an angel who said, if you remember this, we read it every Advent and Christmas season, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Jesus said, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is because of Jesus that you and I, sinners, are given access to God, is it not? Did not Jesus say, no man can come to the Father except by me? And he also said that no man can come to me unless the Father calls him. What a blessing, beloved, young people and old. When your heart is convicted about your need of Jesus, about your need of forgiveness, that red light in your life is so very, very important when that comes on. And when it comes on, God wants to deal with something in your life. You might think, well, now it's hopeless and I'm hopeless, but no. Conviction comes by the Spirit so that he can deal and work in your life. Thanks be to God for a humble and contrite heart. And this publican did not refuse the Lord. Oh God, have mercy on me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord's mission was to become man without sin. Yet he was God, but he was man, and die in our place. He paid the penalty, as I know all of you know. But, you know, I know we need to be reminded once in a while also. He paid the penalty for the sins of all of us. Whoever shall repent and believe shall be saved, but we must receive that by faith. And until we see our need, we don't need Jesus. But most of us are more in the world more concerned about our daily needs, material things, physical needs, than we are about our spiritual needs. I just mentioned yesterday at a funeral, if I might say this, that, you know, when there's a funeral, there's a loss of a loved one. Our hearts are moved and they are contrite. And that's why I say at a time like that, even among family members, if there are odds, get them taken care of, because your heart is now contrite. Because 2 or 3 days later, what happens? All of a sudden, we forget about it, and it's as if, well, we're going to live forever, and everything's all right. But it's at the moment of that God touches us, that's when things need to be dealt with. Oh, Lord, we thank him for how he works in our lives. Do you remember the man with palsy whose 4 friends led him down to the roof of the house and presented him to Jesus? They were more concerned about his physical needs than they were about his spiritual needs, if you remember that account. But Jesus saw another need in this man. And what did he say before he said, "Be healed"? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He knew the greatest need that you and I have. And he met that need first. And then he told the palsy man after that, "Take up your bed and walk." But of most importance in our lives is our need of Jesus. We need a Savior. And thanks be to God that he calls us. And he allows us to see our need, and that's why we need to thank God for his salvation, that he would even call me. And sometimes we find that hard to comprehend. But thank him when you think about that you can be saved. Now there are those who refuse the love of God. And I want to go there with you this morning. And that is the same book of Luke, but Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. I know it's a familiar passage. And I don't even know why I wasn't looking at this passage. I was thinking of different things, and Lord, where would you have me go? And it seemed to come to this one for today. I'm not trying to sound spiritual, but let's look at this passage together today. Oh, there is so much here for us. The rich man and Lazarus, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, this person he paid no attention to upon this earth, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from there to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Notice his prayer now. Look at the turnabout. I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them. He had five brothers living on earth yet, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Wow. And he said, nay, Father, no, Father Abraham, but if one of them from the dead, went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. My, people didn't notice when Jesus came, except a few, and when he rose from the dead, they still didn't take heed. Isn't that true what he just said in verse 31? Well, let's go back and just look at this a little bit. This morning, we have these two men, and we come to verse 22, that which is inevitable in all our lives, we're going to die. We're going to leave this earth. Whether we are saved or not, we're going to leave. There's a time, it's appointed unto every man, woman, and child, there's a time that we will leave this earth in death, unless the Lord comes again while we are still upon this earth, and then those living won't go through this first physical death. Now, it also shows that they went to two different places. Beloved, so often we hear things, God, he wouldn't do that, and that there's not a heaven and a hell. Well, I want to say, first of all, that God never places you and me in heaven on purpose. We place ourselves there if that's where we end up. We place ourselves there. We put ourselves there if we don't repent and believe. It's not his fault. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, for that one who wanted to overcome God, and God kicked him out of heaven. And now he is down here, tempting those whom he can. God made hell for them, not for his created beings down here upon this earth. He loves us. That's why he sent his son. But there are two places, heaven or hell. Where do you want to be? Abraham is in a blessed place. or the beggar is. He's in Abraham's bosom. The rich man, by the way, we know there's nothing wrong with being rich. David is one of the richest men in the world. But it's what we do with our riches and how we live. And are we using them to serve the Lord? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. You see, this is what it's like there. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. What do the scriptures say? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation. There comes a time when it will be too late. And this man who is in hell, he tarried. And he didn't humble himself, allow the Lord to humble him and call upon the Lord while he was living. It was too late. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, God says. He's pleading for us and with us. For I'm tormented in this flame. Jesus, in his love for us, is showing this to us, that we must turn to him, that we need a Savior. I am so thankful that back in that little church in Lake Norton, South Dakota, that I learned there that I needed a Savior. I am so thankful to those pastors and elders who faithfully taught me that except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And because of that, my heart is very affectionate toward them. Thanks be to God if we have been raised in families and in churches where we are taught that unless we are born again, we are lost. By the way, all of us are either lost or saved right now. There's no in between, one or the other. But Abraham says, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beloved, the one man procrastinated. And I would even ask this of all of us here now. Maybe it's not salvation, but what in your life are you procrastinating about right now? Things that are going to hinder your walk with the Lord and your fellowship with believers in this world. You know, we procrastinate about a lot of things. I heard a man one time, or did I read it? But he said that there's usually at least one thing in our lives that hinders our spiritual walk. There's one thing in all our lives. Of course, there are, we all sin in various ways. But he said there's often one particular thing in our lives that hinders our walk with the Lord, or that could keep us from God. It's fair to ask you right now, is there something in your life that is hindering your walk? And you know you need to take care of it. And if you know it, God's giving you grace this day to take care of that and be right with him and your fellow man. My, he goes on, and besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. You see, it's too late. It's too late once we die and are taken away. That gulf now has been established. It's fixed. And we can't get to the other side. Today is the day, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father. Now it really gets even, well, I don't know if it's even more interesting, but what the lesson's for us. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my brother's household. Think about that statement for a moment. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Why? For I have 5 brothers back home on earth, that he may testify to them, lest they come unto this place of torment. Beloved, all of a sudden truth matters. All of a sudden truth matters. And beloved, it matters right now. We have to take his word, his truth, serious right now. Jesus said, why did he come? He said, I came to bring truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth is found in the word of God. These are his principles. We want to set our own standards. I've heard of classes called values clarification, and it's there, well, it's what you think. Is something good or is it bad? Well, it depends upon what you think. Oh, man, that grieves our hearts, doesn't it? The principles and standards are right here in the Word of God. God speaking to us. All of a sudden, truth matters. Now, this man who is in hell is not saying you're intolerant. He's not saying you're a bigot. He's not saying you're not fair. You know, back in Ezekiel, those that didn't want to follow the Lord said, well, the Lord's not fair. And God, through the prophet, came back and said, no, it is you that are not fair. Then they say, well, a loving God wouldn't do that. Back in, I wish I would have written it down, Numbers 55, I think it's verse 33. Now, I believe that's where it is, but Numbers 55, verse 33, it says there, God had, through the prophets, told the people to chase the sin out of the land, to get rid of it. And he said, if you won't chase the sin out of the land and out of your life, he said, then I can't protect you anymore. Wow. If we're messing with sin, he can't protect us if we're going to follow in it. So all of a sudden, truth matters. Beloved, to this congregation that my wife and I are so happy about, stay the course. It does matter. It does matter. Another thing is when you've had this experience too, and I need to be closing down here, is that people will say, well, boy, I'll be in hell with all my friends and we're going to celebrate. Beloved, this man in hell is alone. He's alone. He has no one else around him to comfort him and party with. He's alone. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he says, no, Father Abraham, but if one of them would just go from the dead, they will repent. See, truth now matters. And he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Again, I say, not many noticed when Jesus came the first time to the house of Bethlehem, which meant house of bread. I know I said that last night. But he is our life and our salvation. And not many are noticing also and looking to him today. The Lord says in his holy word that the road is narrow and the way of the world is wide. Many will seek him, but few will find him. Few. And we want to be part of that number that draws near to God. with a humble and contrite heart, not being ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is a power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. I leave you with these words this morning. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And he has it twice in that same book. Incredible. Must be for a reason. May the Lord bless you and your ministry and your fellowship here now and forever. And we have Holy Communion coming following this. Brother Dennis, I'm just going to read something from 1 Corinthians 11 quickly here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm not going to comment at all about it at all. I want this to comment about itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we read these words. For I have received, the Apostle Paul, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And then we come to verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I'm not even going to try to explain that to you. Let's let the scriptures explain themselves. Amen. May the Lord bless you now and always. Amen.